Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. The Reverend Kevin Robson is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We who are declared righteous in the blood of Jesus can go only so far in the imitation of our Heavenly Father. Out there is a boundary that cannot be crossed. You and I are not capable of bringing an entire creation into existence out of a nothing but speaking, let there be, and an inbreathing into a dead lump of clay, the spirit of life. We cannot beget the only Son from eternity, he who would save the world and its inhabitants from sin, death, and Satan by being found in human form and being obedient, humbling himself to death upon a cross. From us does not proceed the Holy Spirit, who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with the Son in the one true faith. In short, none of us are God. No matter how much you and I in our fallen nature might like to forget or foolishly act or speak or daydream as if that was somehow possible. One can go only so far in imitating our Heavenly Father. But today Paul is really looking at it from another perspective with a lovely proposition. Just how far, really? How far will you go in the way of your Heavenly Father? And the apostle flatly answers, so far, so gloriously, so thankfully far, that unless you were willing to then willfully forfeit this priceless inheritance that is already yours in Jesus, well, there is no turning back. Just how far proceeds your walk in faith? Within the vastness of all that is good and righteous and true in His gospel, in Christ alone, you've been called to such a journey, to this pattern whose foundation is His gospel. Beloved, therefore you love. Forgiven, thus you forgive. This is true for you, the baptized Christian, elect before time, atoned for in the shed blood of Jesus, bathed in the mystery of the revelation of the gospel, the new man or woman raised to life from death by drowning in a baptismal flood, urged to walk together with all of the saints in unity now in the face of affliction, persecution, mockery, temptation on every side, confronted and tested by a world full of unbelievers. I therefore urge you to take up this journey, to walk with purpose and thanksgiving, says the apostle, in love. Walk in light. Walk in God's wisdom. Joyfully walk in the mystery of marriage, that icon of divine grace in Christ, in love and self-sacrifice for His devoted bride, the church. Following Him how far? We cannot begin to imagine or perceive the depth and breadth and the joyful bliss that awaits all of us, all solely on the account of the salvation won and bestowed upon us in Christ. Dear saints, consider how you've been found and held so close, and now just how far you've been carried forward on such divine promise. From your inborn nature, you were not even a smidgen lovable or loving of God or your neighbor. Yet God's word now repeatedly affirms that you are His beloved. How did that happen? How did you become God's child? Because He has reconciled you who were once His enemies unto Himself in the Son. For redeemed sinners, a proper scriptural distinction between then and now is massively significant. We've been changed. So God's word declares, from death to life, from alien to citizen, from distant to near, from ignorance to knowledge. Paul offers yet another angle to this then and now distinction. You Christians are no longer darkness. Because of what Jesus did, you are no longer darkness, but rather you are light in the Lord. Walk, therefore, as children of light, says Paul, and bear such fruit as flourishes in the light. You've been rescued forever from the ruination of sin, the disaster of a broken world, having been rescued and transformed and moved into a new life with status as righteous before God. Sit up and take notice, all you who were darkness. In the unthinkable, unspeakable instance that you were somehow determined to partake all over again in the wickedness of disobedience to God's word, you would be throwing away all of your given share of such blessedness, the kingdom of God that has already arrived, God whose light and life are already yours, already you, already are you. No one claiming to be a Christian can make a walking daily habit of the immoralities listed by Paul as he witnessed them in ancient Ephesus. They were there for all to see: sexual immorality, impurities and lusts, all the marks of rank pagan idolatry. Not much has changed since then. Now we live in a world awash with empty arguments that such sins are just harmless and that everyone is owed such guilty pleasures. That is exactly what Satan wants us to hear. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Paul is warning you and me, do not become fellow partakers with such purveyors of disobedience. Because you are a holy people, you cannot participate in unholy things. You've been called to something new and quite foreign to you. The holiness, the very righteousness of God in Christ, which is at the very center and core of your identity now. You are the witness of the gospel to the world in your walk. Beloved of the Father, as his imitators, you are not driven by some innate, inborn desire toward compliance with a moralistic set of rules, as if he were merely providing a programmatic guidebook toward beneficial behavior. Do all of this list of things, and it will go rather well with you. Godly imitation grows purely out of the gospel. Jesus Christ, at the very center of your life, transformed by that divine act of benevolent, self-sacrificial love. As it says elsewhere in the scripture, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love because he first loved us. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen.